Of our God. And we thank all of you for coming tonight. Several of our young men, as we mentioned this morning, will be participating in the service tonight, and we appreciate these young men. They're making preparation to go to LTC, and this is non-competition what they're going to be doing tonight, but we have asked them to share. I've given them scriptures that they're going to be reading tonight in conjunction with our lesson, and we appreciate these young men and their willingness to do this. You know, heaven is a beautiful word, but what is heaven really going to be like? You know, people talk about heaven. People talk about heavenly pie. People talk about their loved one as being heaven. Several years ago, there was a song of the pop charts called My Special Angel. And in that song, he said something about the fact that heaven was in her heart. Well, we know that heaven has greater depth than perhaps the way that we use it today. But what is heaven really going to like? And what are you going to do in heaven? You know, that probably is one of the questions that I receive more often than not. What are we going to do in heaven? Everybody wants to go there, but we don't know what we're going to be doing there. We just know that we want to get away from all the problems that we have in this life, and whatever I have to do to get there, I surely want to get there, even though we have very little cognizance about what heaven is going to be like. You know, we do a lot of things in this life, as I shared with you this morning, a lot of things in this life that we do every day that we will not be doing in heaven. And that's what I want to leave with you tonight. I believe that there are a lot of things that we do in this life, a lot of activities that we often engage in that really would be inappropriate in heaven, to say the least. Now, there are eight things that I want to suggest to you. You might want to jot these down, and if you ever question yourself about what is heaven really going to like or what am I going to be doing in heaven, then maybe this will kind of give you a little synopsis, perhaps, or an answer to that one question. I would tell you, how many of you this day, today or this evening, turned on a light switch or flipped a light switch? Is there anyone in this audience tonight that did not flip a switch today? Okay. There are some of you who still live by candle, I guess. But by and large, most of us flipped on a switch. When you entered into the building, or whether you went into the ladies' or the men's restroom, or whether you went home, whatever you did, wherever you were today, chances are you flipped a switch. Now, if you didn't flip it on, you flipped it off. But you know, the Bible says in heaven there will be no switch flipping. And the reason I say that is because the Word of God teaches us that in heaven there is no darkness. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, the Bible begins to tell us that there is no need for the sun to give light. There is no need for the moon to give her light at night. For God lighteth the glory of heaven with his own glory. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ the Lamb is the light thereof. He was the light of the world here, John 8 and verse 12. And he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we know that if he was the light here, that he will be the light there as well. And so in heaven there'll be no darkness. There will be no night there, according to the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 25. There will be no need of lamps. You won't have to worry about light bulbs going out. You won't have to worry about replacing those in heaven, because there will be none. You know, there's an old song we sing. It's called In the Land of Fadeless Day. And it's called Where the City Lieth Four Square. And I think it's the last verse of that song says, and there is no night there. And aren't you glad to know that in heaven there is no darkness at all? None. Can you imagine living in a place where the light is always burning? Now, sometimes people have great difficulty comprehending that, and because we still think in terms of the world here. We still think in terms of, well, you know, we're going to get tired, you know, if you know, people say you're going to be plucking on a harp up there in heaven. I don't think that's true, and I certainly don't think the Bible even hints at that. We will be singing praise to God. We will be glowing. We certainly won't be floating around up there on a cloud like a lot of people think also. That's an erroneous thought. But the Bible says it's never entered into the mind of man, nor has man ever heard with his ear, nor has he ever seen with his eye the glory that God shall reveal in us. We know that it's going to be a wonderful experience, and we certainly do not want to miss it. But how do you really describe heaven? Well, I think it can certainly be described in that way. There is that place where we will not be flipping switches anymore. Let me ask you another thing. Number two, how many of you faced a temptation today? And you don't have to raise your hand on that one. That's all right. We don't want to embarrass anybody because you may have given in to that temptation. But you know what? The Bible says that we are all tempted when we're drawn away. And sin is conceived, it brings forth death, and death will result in a separation from God, and it keeps us out of heaven. And the Bible says also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that there is no temptation but such as is common to man. And God will make a way of escape for those of us who live this side of eternity to overcome those temptations. But did you know in heaven there will be no temptation? You may face them day in and day out here because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There is that temptation that we will face continually here in this world. But in heaven there will be no temptation. Because in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 through 18, the Bible says that we put on the whole armor of God here that we may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And he just launches one right after another. But in heaven, no temptation. Now, I'm going to call on Jaden to come up and read a passage of scripture taken from the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Jaden, if you will.
My name's Jaden Townsend. I'm in third grade, and I'm gonna be reading 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to receive the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jaden. And God does know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And he delivers us here, even though we face it. One of the questions people ask again is the question, is it wrong to be tempted? And certainly not. If it were wrong to be tempted, then we would have to say that our Lord had succumbed to evil just because he was faced with a temptation, and such is not the case at all. For in the book of Matthew chapter 4, we know that Jesus, immediately following his baptism, was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, and while he was there over a period of 40 days, the Bible says that he was tempted with three specific temptations, and one came right after another. And when the devil doesn't get you one way, he will try to get you another way. And if that way doesn't work, he will again appeal to you in a different way. And that's exactly what he did with Christ. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the Bible says these are of the devil, and they are not of the Father who is in heaven. But in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says that the devil that deceived them here in this world was cast into the lake of fire, and essentially says the same thing in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 10. Well, but in heaven, no temptation. In heaven, no flipping the switch. No need for additional light. But then there's a third thing you will not be doing in heaven. You know, probably a number of you visited a sick person today, or you have in the last week at any rate. You have been by to see people that are ill. We have a number of people in this congregation that have been ill, and those who are doing much, much better. And we're thankful for that. And God has blessed them. But aren't you thankful that in heaven we won't have to worry about sickness at all? No more. For the Bible says, again in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, that all the effects of illness will be gone. There will be no sickness in heaven. There won't be any need for doctors. There won't be any need for ambulances. There won't be any need for medical care or health care initiatives. We won't have to worry about any of those things because in heaven we will be restored. The Bible says that our bodies will be pure and they will be holy. We won't have to worry about getting sick. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A lot of people do a lot of things today to hedge against getting sick. We go out and buy insurance. A lot of people are concerned tonight about Medicare and Medicaid and all those kinds of things and what they're going to do up in Washington about all of that, and heaven only knows. But a lot of people are really concerned about it because they are concerned about what happens if I get sick and I can't go to the hospital or I can't get my medication. But in heaven, you won't have to worry about that. You won't be troubled any longer about that. Matter of fact, relationship to that, number four, I don't know about you, but I take an aspirin every day, a 325 milligram aspirin every day. Now, it's enteric, it's coated, and I do that every day. And I have done that for about almost 14 years every day without missing one day. Now, I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm just simply telling you that according to doctor's orders, and for those who have had heart problems and those who have suffered heart attacks and things of that nature, heart disease, or surely would be wise to do that. And I would encourage anybody to do that. An aspirin a day doesn't hurt anybody. Matter of fact, an aspirin a day keeps the doctor away. No, I don't know about that, but I think that was the apple, wasn't it? But anyway, in heaven, you won't have to worry about taking an aspirin or taking medication because the Bible says that in heaven there is no pain. He says, for the former things, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, for the former things are passed away no more. Now, we're going to call on Zach to come up and read a passage of Scripture for us also. Zach, if you will.
Hello, I'm Zach Phillips. I am in the 10th grade, and I'll be reading Jeremiah 15:18. Why is my pain perpetual? Sorry. And my wound incurable, which infuses to be healed. Wilt thou be altogether unto and me as a liar, and as water that fail? Jeremiah 15:18.
You know, God, even in the Old Testament, healed people, and He does today. Someone asked me one time, and I've shared this with you before, I do believe in faith healing, not faith healers, and there's a tremendous difference. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they be sick, God shall raise them up. And so that's why we pray for the sick. We don't just get up here to announce who they are, but we always ask you to remember them in your prayers because God is the great healer, and Jesus is the great physician. But there's another thing, fifthly, that you did today. If you didn't, you will do it tonight. And if you don't do it tonight, you would be extremely foolish if you did not do it. And that is, lock the door at your house. You know, people do that with regularity, don't they? You know, I can remember a time when we didn't lock the door. I can remember a time we were growing up and we grew up in an old home, in an old house. And we had one of those skeleton keys. You know what I'm talking about, Don? And we locked our door every night. But the odd thing about it is that everybody on the block had the same key. I kept asking my dad, I said, why do we do this? You know, I mean, everybody's got a skeleton key. And we were locking doors. But you know what? It would be a very foolish thing today not to do that. It would be. We lock the doors on our automobile when we pull up out here. And there again, you're very foolish if you don't do that. Not that we think anybody in the church is criminal, but I'll tell you what. The children of the devil have a funny way of following the sons of light. Let me tell you, and that is absolutely true. But do you know that in heaven we don't have to worry about doing that? We fasten every window, we bolt every door, we secure our homes, we do all within our power. But did you know that in heaven there will be no bad news? No one will have burglarized anybody. Nobody will have broken into heaven. Not going to happen. They have to come through the door, who is Jesus Christ. And the doors to our mansion that Jesus speaks about in the book of Revelation, in the book of John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6, will never ever need a bolt. The windows have no locks. They have no security system. We had to put a security system in the church building a number of years ago because people came and burglarized the church building. And now we have secured it. We've not had that problem since. But you know what? In heaven, there won't be any burglar alarms like we have to set every time we leave this building. Won't have to worry about that. For the Bible in Revelation 21 and verse 27 says, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable," the New King James Version says, "or anyone who is false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." It's kind of like the wedding feast, isn't it? By invitation only. And that's really what heaven will be. By invitation only. But then that brings me to number 6. Something you did today, whether you will admit it or not, you did it today. Some people don't like it when they think about it. But you saw an old person. Because I know you all saw Bob Steck today. Now, all jokes aside, Bob. Still my friend, Bob. Now, what happens is sometimes you look in the mirror and you see yourself. And you say, that's not really me. Or you look at a picture. And you see those little things wasting away in your body. And you say, that's not me. Only to come down off your cloud and say, that's me, all right. Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3 through 7, talks about the fact that we are wasting away. Paul said to the Corinthian church that the outward man is wasting away, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. You just think about it. I know it's not a very pleasant thought. Like I said, it's not one that you like to think about often, but you know what? We're all getting a little bit closer to the grave, every one of us. But now, if you want to turn that into something very positive, we're all getting a little bit closer to our celestial home that we call heaven. And in heaven, we will not age. You won't have to worry about all those aging creams. You won't have to worry about buying that Neva anymore. Mary. Because in heaven you will not grow old. I don't know why they're laughing. They'd buy it too. I'm going to call on Austin now to come up and read a passage of scripture as it relates to this topic also. Austin.
Austin Evans. I'm in 12th grade. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 49 through 54. "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Thank you, Austin. And you're exactly right. Death is swallowed up in victory for those who are children of God. And even though death is called that last footstool or that last enemy to be destroyed, it will be swallowed up in victory for those who are in Christ. And one other thing that you may have done today that you will not do in heaven is that you will not shed a tear. You know, people shed a lot of tears in this life, maybe over being brokenhearted or perhaps upset with someone or perhaps something happened in your life that caused you great trauma and you shed your tears. And the Bible says that God even catches those tears in a bottle. Did you know that? But hardly a week goes by that our life is not mixed with sadness. Because it is, even in spite of the blessings that God gives to us. We face heartaches, and sometimes far more frequently than we would choose to experience. But in heaven, the Bible, according to Revelation 21 and verse 4, says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears. There's no more sorrow. And isn't that a wonderful thought? That God will dry your tears. You won't ever experience any more heartache. Not again. Never, ever. And in this life, there are plenty of them. But in heaven, no tears. But then last of all, something you may have done today that you won't do in heaven. You may have driven by a cemetery today. But did you know that in heaven there will be no cemetery? None. For the same passage that tells us that there are no tears in heaven, the Bible also says, and there shall be no more death. No more death. You know, people probably fear dying more than anything else in all the world. If I were to ask you, what is your greatest fear tonight? You'd probably say dying. I've had people say, well, you know, I'm not really afraid of dying. It's just I'm afraid maybe of how I'm going to die. I've heard people say, well, I'd just like to die with a heart attack and it'll all be over. I don't want to get some kind of long lingering illness, or I don't want to be killed in a car wreck where I have a lot of pain, or I don't want someone to shoot me so I have to go through and experience all that. I'd just kind of like to die in my sleep and just go and be with God. I suppose probably that's the way most of us feel tonight. But even death itself brings great pain. If not to you, it brings it to your family when they have to say goodbye to the people that they love. But in heaven, there are no cemeteries, no funeral homes, no morticians, except those who became Christians and went there. But there will not be a need for a mortician in heaven. There won't be a need, perhaps, for what we call a pre-need. For John says, there will be no more death. And I've asked Caleb to come now and read another passage of Scripture that relates to us also.
How y'all doing tonight? My name's Caleb, and I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
I mentioned a moment ago that in heaven we will not lock our doors. We overlooked Alex over there. You want to come, Alex? Yeah, and read your passage for us also.
How y'all doing? I'm Alex Lowe. I'm in the 12th grade, and I'll be reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. You know, that's just really kind of a taste of what heaven is really going to be like, isn't it? No one will break through and steal, as we mentioned. And what a wonderful thing it will be to go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people tonight that are unprepared to go to heaven. And that's a great tragedy. The fact that people have prepared for just about everything in the world except their journey into eternity. And we shall all make it, regardless of who we are. If we're living when the Lord comes again, the Bible says it will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And for those of us who are Christians, so shall we ever be with the Lord. But in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the Bible says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So the only one who is really prepared for heaven and prepared to go there and be with God is the one who is the baptized believer. He is the individual who has made his commitment unto God. And I surely hope and trust that everyone here in this audience tonight has done that. But if we've not, now would be the time to do it. Heaven is a prepared place, but it's prepared for those who are prepared to go there. And so tonight, if you're not a Christian, would you, by love for God and a willingness to surrender your life unto him and to his cause, give your life to Jesus tonight. Out of your belief in him as the Son of God and a willingness to acknowledge him with your lips that Christ is the Savior of the world, and then by being baptized, you can have your sin remitted and forgiven, and then you will know that you are on the straight and narrow that leads to that celestial city we call heaven. It can be yours, but it's yours of the choosing. And we extend the invitation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to you tonight, in hopes that you'll respond to him while we stand and while we sing.